Our first reading is from Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 to 7. A reading from Isaiah. Let me sing for my beloved, my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and it shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry. Our psalm is Psalm 80, verses 7 to 15. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved. You have brought a vine out of Egypt, and cast out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took root and filled the land. The mountains were covered by its shadow, and the towering cedar trees by its boughs. You stretched out its tendrils to the sea, and its branches to the river. Why have you broken down its wall, so that all who pass by pluck off its grapes? The wild boar of the forest has ravaged it, and the beasts of the field have grazed upon it. Turn now, O God of hosts, look down from heaven, behold and tend this vine, preserve what your right hand has planted.
Our gospel reading today is from Matthew chapter 21, verses 33 to 46. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said, "Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance.' So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" And the chief priests and elders said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures? 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes.' Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. The Gospel of our Lord. I am sure many of you have heard the saying, the more things change, the more they stay the same. I know I have said this before, but I am always amazed when I read the Bible. When I read those parables and passages that were written thousands of years ago for a certain time, context, and audience, but knowing that the message is still so relevant in our lives today. Our first reading this morning from the prophet Isaiah speaks of the beloved planting a vineyard. He lovingly prepares the soil, removing the debris and rocks. The earth was fertile, and he planted the best grapevines available. The harvest should have been great and plentiful, but when the time came to gather the grapes, they were wild. They were small, unripe, and bitter to eat. The prophet asked the question, what more could God have done, as the conditions were perfect? Our gospel reading today uses the prophet Isaiah's teachings and word. Jesus speaks them knowing that the religious leaders would have been very familiar with the passage. They would have understood that God came to Jerusalem looking for good fruit, looking for people who believed in justice, mercy, and grace for one another and their neighbor. However, the people only thought of themselves and they were judgmental. Yes, there were only wild grapes found in that vineyard that was so lovingly prepared and cared for by the beloved. In our gospel reading this morning, a vineyard is again planted. Care is again taken in preparing the soil. A fence is built around to keep predators out. And a wine press is constructed to reap the rewards of the harvest. The landowner then leaves, and tenants are hired to take care of the land and harvest the grapes. This was not an uncommon occurrence in antiquity. The landowner would get things started, then leave the country to do something else. And he would hire tenants, and he would share the grapes with the tenants in exchange for the services provided. If the tenants did not cooperate, they would be replaced. The significant difference in our readings today is that the grapes in Isaiah were wild, while in the gospel, the grapes were plentiful and sweet, but the tenants were wicked and evil. Our parable is another allegory. And I think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago because we have been surrounded by the parables of Jesus over these past weeks. But an allegory is a story that has a hidden meaning that Jesus used to teach those around him. In the parable, there is a landowner. The landowner is God. The vineyard is Israel, as it was in the Isaiah reading as well. The tenants are the chief priests and Pharisees, the religious leaders of the time, and the son is Jesus Christ. Jesus told this parable in the temple, and earlier that week, he had just entered Jerusalem on a donkey. The crowds cheered and worshipped him. They laid their cloaks on the ground for him to walk on. Along the way to Jerusalem, Jesus had been healing all kinds of folks. He had been teaching people. He was hanging out with tax collectors and prostitutes, the sick and the lonely, the othered in society. He upturned the tables in the temple, cleansing it of the money changers and buyers and sellers of goods because the temple was being misused. The religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees, and the elders and chief priests were watching all of this. And they went to Jesus demanding to know, by what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? This was from earlier in the chapter of Matthew, verses 23 to 25. The leaders were afraid of him They saw how the crowds were reacting to him, and they feared that they were losing their authority. In their eyes, Jesus was not following the law of Torah. But in reality, it was the religious leaders who were using the law and religion to their own advantage. They were not understanding who Jesus was and who God is. They were not living out their call in the world to be gracious and kind and merciful to others. After Jesus told the parable, he asked the chief priests what the landowner should do with the tenants. They responded that they deserved death and should be replaced with tenants who live justly. Suddenly, the chief priests' eyes were opened, and they realized what Jesus was doing and what he was trying to teach them. They realized that they were the tenants in the parable, and they were not happy. They wanted to arrest Jesus, but again, they were fearful because of the crowds that had gathered. The chief priests and the elders and the scribes and the religious authorities were abusing their authority. They were using the law to get what they wanted at the expense of others. They were not loving their neighbors. There was no mercy and grace to be found. Their responsibility as leaders and followers of God were lacking, to say the least. What are our responsibilities as leaders today? What are our responsibilities as followers of Christ in the world today? Do we produce the fruits of the kingdom, or do we leave it for others to harvest and fulfill? I wonder how many of you have heard the news story this week about a 37-year-old Indigenous mother of seven who was taken to a hospital in Montreal. Joyce Eshaquan was suffering from severe stomach pain. She had been in the hospital for 2 days when she recorded a video showing the treatment that she had been receiving from the staff. The video shows the staff berating her, taunting her while she was in immense pain and hurling insults at her. She died a short time after the video was recorded, and now her family is left to grieve her death. Her husband is left to raise their seven children on his own. After public outcry, two members of the hospital staff have been fired. And members of the Indigenous community are once again expressing outrage at the systemic racism and discrimination that she and so many other Indigenous men and women have and continue to receive in this country. We often think that when we hear stuff going on around the world that it doesn't happen in Canada. Oh, that just happens in the United States, or that just happens in Europe. But Canada has its own issues of systemic racism in the way we treat our Indigenous brothers and sisters, in the way we treat people of color, and in the way we treat the LGBTQ community. Canada is not immune to racism and hurt and hate. How different were the staff at that hospital in Montreal from the chief priests? Joyce, in her moment of need, was not shown any grace or mercy. She was not treated as a human. She was othered. She was belittled and labeled because of her ancestry and her culture. Our parable this morning is not one that is easy to hear. It is violent and disturbing, and for many years it has been viewed as anti-Semitic. Just where do we find the good news in a parable like this? Just where do we find the good news in our world today when women like Joyce are belittled and labeled? when Indigenous folks still don't have clean water to drink, when people of color are still afraid to walk down the street. The good news is the cornerstone. The good news is the foundation of God. The good news is in God's actions, even though God is rejected time and time again. The good news is that God does not and never ever will give up on us. God is always willing and ready to guide and restore us. God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, to die on a cross for our sins, for our shortcomings. God's action of unconditional and redemptive love is a sacrifice of the ultimate love of God through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. God continues to call us God's own. God continues to instill in us the power of the Holy Spirit to make a difference in the world. Our leadership role as followers of Christ calls us to stand with those who are othered and belittled. It calls us to be the hands of the weak and the lowly. Our leadership role as Christians and Jesus followers calls us to be the voice of women like Joyce, whose voice has now been silenced. My hope for the future is that someday we can say that we have changed. We can say that we have learned from our mistakes. We can say that we truly are leaders and followers of Christ who are willing to make a difference in the world, who are willing to take a risk and love unconditionally and freely, knowing that Jesus Christ is the head and cornerstone of our lives. And when we do this, we too can produce plentiful fruit for the kingdom, knowing that all are accepted and all are indeed unconditionally loved. May it be so. Amen. Amen. Our hymn of the day is Christ is Made the Sure Foundation, and that is ELW number 645, and there is also a YouTube link.